worship you.
Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise and worship. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Is that the only reason you came tonight?
Yes, sir.
I love those songs too, where it's not just I worship Him, but you can sing I worship you. Knowing that when we talk, He likes to talk back. So I'm just glad we got a wonderful Savior. Before I forget, I'd like to announce a few things. I did update testimonies out there, so if you ever want to feel a little encouragement, there's the last month of all the testimonies you have that are posted. Also on the calendar, Brother Nathan's going to be coming for us the 16th, which is 2 Wednesdays from now. And the following Sunday, I have Brother Alexander Magulis. That's Nathan Erickson and Brother Alexander Magulis coming. So keep them in prayer, being expected for the services, and believe for great things. Let's open up our Bibles tonight. Hebrews chapter 9. Had a lot of problems in my life, but I'm glad to finally get the revelation that I got the same solution every time.
Amen.
Just get back in the presence of God.
Amen.
You get worked up, just get back in the presence of God. You get sick, get back in the presence of God.
Amen.
Guess what? Not too bad anymore, is it?
Amen.
I was telling Dad the other day, if we treat this life as insignificant as it really is and treat the next life as important as it really is, I think life would be a little bit easier on us, don't you think? They shake my hand, they hurt my feelings. Well, how long is that going to last? A couple more minutes here and you'll get over it?
Right.
What about all eternity?
Sure.
Why don't you just forgive them and move on? How's that sound?
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot. You get that gold yet? It's gold. Everything's gold. Golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it were the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, whilst the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertained to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
Like to preach tonight, given access to the Holy of Holies.
Wow.
Amen.
Given access to the Holies of Holies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time to be in your house. And Lord, I pray that the people would look past this building. Lord, this isn't the house that we speak of. Speak of the tabernacle, Lord, in glory, where we go where we're planning to dwell forever, Lord, which is to never leave your presence, but to always be in it. Lord, show the children tonight, Lord, the bread that's for them. Show them that you've given them the hidden manna. You've given them things that have been held secret from everyone, Lord. And you've given it to us freely, Lord. Don't let us take these things for granted. But Lord, let us see the reality of the love that you bestowed upon us, Lord. How we walked around in darkness, but Lord, just shine the light down in our lives. And now we can walk free. Father, I pray that each Christian would see that light tonight. Lord, and if there's any soul here that's not right, that's still walking in darkness, I pray that the light would dispel all the darkness tonight. And Lord, you would show yourself mighty. Make yourself visible amongst your people, Lord. And may they know that Jesus Christ is the only one true living God. Commit this service into your hands, believing for great things, knowing that you're a great God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Starting here in Hebrews chapter 9, as Paul, again, as we know, we've been going through this every chapter, and I hope you've been enjoying this book of Hebrews. I know I have. I've been seeing things I've never seen before. But Paul's whole goal here is he's talking to the Jews. He's talking to those that have held this law with all their heart. And he's showing them that, look, this law has been fulfilled. You must move on with the Word of God. There is more to the story than what you know. And his whole point in the book of Hebrews is to separate what was the old covenant and what is the new that Christ has established. Amen. And as he, I'm sure he was very frustrated at times. If you watch all the epistles, he has to deal with very similar things over and over and over again. He said to the Galatians, "Oh, foolish Galatians, having started in the Spirit, will you be perfected in the flesh?" Dealt with that old legalism there, didn't he? And here's with the Hebrews. He's telling them, look, you've got to drop that you're saved because you do this. Or you're saved because you don't do this. You are saved by the grace of God and that alone. Amen. Nothing we've ever done. And if you add one thing that we've done, you have merited salvation and Christ has died in vain. And this everlasting covenant, this covenant that has stood, as we've studied through, that the blood was shed before anything ever even got here, you're going to tell me that covenant wasn't good enough if you think you have a hand in your salvation. Anybody figure out once you put your hands into your salvation, it crumbles all of a sudden? It's no good no more, is it? Because every standard you come up with yourself, you will fail. And God knew that. God watched it when he set the law. He said, fine. He didn't want to give Israel the law, but they begged him. Give us the law. Whatever you tell us, we will do it. And that's very zealous, but it's a youthful zeal. Because a real believer would have said, we can't do this. We can't do this. There's no way. Give me somebody to stand in the gap for me.
Amen.
That's what they should have done. Instead, they said, no, I can take this into my own hands. And really what is it? It's pride. They had pride that they could save themselves, and that's what man's trouble is every time. A reason a man never gets salvation is because he thinks he can get salvation on his own. You think Cain was really afraid of that curse that came against him, or do you think he'd be all right after it was all said and done? Anybody else talk to God right in the face and say, why are you cursing me? Why are you rebuking me? Don't you know that I'm sincere here? Anybody else want to do that? I tell you what, when I get in that presence, that's not the first thing that comes out of my mouth. My first thing is, man, I'm a sinner. Lord, depart from me, just like Peter did. Because if we come in our own merit, a real believer knows that he's lost on his own. I'm not going to stop the story there now. Don't get all downcast now. We already preached about that. When we talk about the negative, look, we're just trying to show you more than anything what we're not.
Amen.
And that should just encourage you what you are.
Yes.
Just go ahead and push that out. I'm not a sinner no more, are you? Remember, you can't be a sinner saint. You're one or the other.
Right.
We were sinners, but not today.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So let's look at this tabernacle for a little bit. And then verily, I'm reading again from Hebrews 9. The first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first. And if you studied the tabernacle, remember there was an outside curtain all the way around, which was called the outer court. You weren't sheltered under anything. You were just as vulnerable to all the things of the world just as anyone else. And guess what? If you're just justified, you're in the same boat right there. You go back and look up anything about Martin Luther's real life.
Amen.
You want to talk about a mouth that's dirty? Go look up some of his quotes, what he had to say about the Catholic Church. That's what happens when all you are is justified. Yes, and I believe from the opening of the Word at that time that he was given eternal life, and that's all he could grow to. There wasn't anything else to attain to. That's all the Word that was given in that day. It's the same with the Old Testament saints. We understand that that covenant wasn't perfect, but that was all that God had allotted to their time. Right. And as long as they accepted that, they were okay.
Right.
But look, in this age, it's not that way. There's no more word to attain to. The word has been fully restored. To where Jesus Christ can walk in you and I the same as when He was on earth. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Ghost in you is God's Spirit. There's not another one. There's only one Spirit of God. And once that Spirit comes into us, look, the Word has been pulled. It has been rent of all the seals that ever contained it. It has been fully given to us, not to lay around and do nothing, but to realize who we are.
Amen.
We are the conquerors of this earth.
Yes.
Amen.
Not by power, not by might, but by His Spirit.
Yes, sir.
I am more than a conqueror.
Amen.
If you go to the battle by yourself, yeah, you might as well tuck tail and run. But if you come with Papa God behind you, what you afraid of?
Right. Amen.
That's right.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
And guess what? That includes you too.
Amen.
So quit it.
Amen.
We need to realize that when we die to ourselves, it needs to change from being suicide to homicide. You want me to say that one more time? A little too fast, wasn't it? When we think of dying to ourselves, it can't be suicide, like, oh, it's me. No, it must become homicide, that I can see in the mirror that that's not me.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm going to kill him.
Amen. Yes.
If you can separate yourself from the flesh, you will stay in the new covenant,
yes,
where there's joy, peace, hallelujah,
yes,
the presence of God.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's
Lord.
Good. That's good. Amen.
Paul said the same thing. He said in me, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing.
Amen. Right.
But thanks be to God who gives us the victory.
Amen.
Jesus Christ,
amen,
our Lord.
Yes, sir.
See, he wasn't walking around with a stuffed shirt. He said, why do I got the victory? Because of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
When I was a sinner, when I was persecuting the church, Paul would say, when I watched Stephen die, and I tried to weigh my religion and what I was doing, and how I kept the law, one day I met the pillar of fire.
That's
and
right.
The whole situation changed.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's what we're talking about tonight. Getting access. Given access. I meant that the way I said it now. We don't earn access. It came at a price now. It wasn't just free. It needed a price. But you weren't asked to fulfill it, were you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus. But we are given access into the holies of holies.
Amen.
Watch the tabernacle as we could go through the symbols. Every single one of those things that Moses put in there, remember, he got it from the pattern that he saw in heaven. But look, when we go into the book of Revelation, I hope I don't get too deep here, but you watch, remember, what did John see? He said he saw the candlestick, and he saw one like the Son of Man.
That's right.
Nothing else.
Amen. That's good.
Because what is the manna in the pot? It's Christ.
Amen. Amen.
What's all the gold overlaying everything? It was Christ.
Amen. Amen.
What was the showbread that you could eat, and after you ate it, it grew back again? And you can go back and eat it, and it grow back again.
Amen.
Anybody exhausted Jesus Christ yet? When you go feed off this word, you think, oh, I can't get no better. Guess what? It came back already. There's another fresh one there for you to eat. Go grab another loaf of the Word of God. All of those things pointed to Him. So when John saw Him there, all of those things came to its climax, what they were all really about. But the candlesticks were still there. You understand now? The golden candlestick was still there, which we understand. And I hope that, like I said, I'm not trying to teach this so much on this. I just want to throw this in. That remember, the church, both nominal and spiritual, were allowed to be in the presence of God. Remember, there was the circles on each church age. There was light and dark. They were allowed to be there. But remember, that's only in the second court. It's not in the holies of holies.
That's right. Yes.
Amen.
There's only a certain group allowed to keep on going with the word.
Amen. Amen.
That's why you watch. How do they have such wonderful miracles back there? And how did God move? They were allowed in the presence of God. You must understand that. Cain was allowed, and Balaam was allowed in the presence of God.
That's right.
Remember, not forever.
No.
There came a day when he became sealed out.
Amen.
But again, why'd y'all get quiet on me now? Didn't I just tell you to not do that?
Yeah.
Because that's all we did. Oh, nope. We're all sinners again. And you got preaching real good, and then, oh, nope, we're all saved again. Then, oh, nope, we're all sinners again. You know what's the truth. You know why I know that? Because it happens to this guy. Amen. Now, let's go through this real quick. Verse 2. For there was a tabernacle made, the first which was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Or the holy of holies. Which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold. And wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. Remember what it said about Lucifer? It said, "Oh, thou covering cherub." There was a time when, remember, he was God's right-hand man. Right. He was allowed to be in the holies of holies.
Sure. That's right.
There came a day when he, as well, became sealed out. He was a covering cherub. Over at the cherubims of glory, covering the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Well, what does he mean there is that at this time there was no more tabernacle for you to go check out. He said, we can't tell you the details of it because it's past. We can't talk about it particularly. We just know what the word said about it. Now, verse 6. Now, let's go on past that. All the tabernacle, do you believe, spoke of one person, Jesus Christ.
Sure.
All of it. Every symbol. You read that in the Old Testament. Look, so you should see Jesus Christ in every one of those things. Or go back and read it again, as the prophet said. Verse 6. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle. Remember what I just said a minute ago. You could go into the first, you could come out. You go into the first, all the priests, anyone that even claimed Christianity, could go in there and have a little bit of fellowship.
Right.
But we're going to go past that.
Amen.
The priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone. One-on-one conference. Anybody come for a one-on-one conference tonight?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, we don't have a group religion around this place. We're not all saved because we just adhere that Brother Branham's a prophet and we think the message of God is pretty good and we like to listen to the tapes. And since we all hang out together, I guess we're all saved. It's a one-on-one affair. The Gentile church is made up of individuals that are pulled out from that wild old oak tree and grafted into the one that had life before Amen. The foundation of the world. But in the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Now, why is this so important? Remember, as the prophet said, and he's quoting anyways, he said, fools will walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trod. Uh-huh. At least the high priest was smart enough to know, I am not walking into there with my own merits.
Right.
Before he would even think to walk into the holies of holies, he made sure, where's the blood to get me covered up before I get in there? Because if I go in there with my iniquity, when you get to the presence of God, God cannot tolerate sin. He must destroy it. The high priest as well, remember, he had a garment and it had bells on it and pomegranates, which I believe are little bells. I'm not exactly sure, but the whole point was that when he was in there, you could hear him because they knew. If he stops moving, he's dead.
Right.
The high priest knew this is life and death situation. And I tell you what, there's so many people don't understand that. They'll walk right into the presence of God just like, oh, whatever, just do whatever I want to do. You know, I'll come in here smoking, drinking, cussing, and I'll just come right into the presence of God. I think it's no big deal. You better watch out when you do that. Amen. If you don't respect the presence of God, God don't tolerate that all too long.
Right.
And aren't you glad he had enough grace on us that when we were that way, he didn't let us get to no presence like that.
Amen.
He kept us away from it, didn't he? I know he did me. He kept me out there to where I wouldn't blaspheme no Holy Ghost. I wouldn't talk bad about it. He waited until I was in a condition to when I saw it, I knew what it was about. That Shekinah glory is not something to deal with. Remember when people wanted to challenge Brother Branham and the gift that he had? Because remember, it wasn't him that they were challenging. They were challenging God.
Amen.
Right.
And when they tried to challenge that, he was just telepathy and all these things. And I believe he told the whole congregation, bow your heads, and there was a church over here that wouldn't do it. They just refused to do it because they thought he was just making up. He said, fine, I've warned you. I warned you a few times. And I believe it was an epileptic and he delivered him. Right. And that spirit went on to that whole church and they all went epileptic.
Yeah.
You don't fool with the presence of God. And we must treat every service that way. Amen. We must treat every time we get into prayer that way. Yeah. That we are not just going through duties, but we are here to be in the holies of holies. To have a one-on-one conference with the Shekinah glory.
Amen. Yes.
that as Paul met him on the road to Damascus, I can meet with him anytime I desire, because I have been given by the blood of Christ free access,
amen,
paid access, amen, into the holies of holies, to where I can walk in there confidently, amen, that I'll be accepted. Amen. Because once the high priest, he had followed all the word, when he had the blood over him, then he would go into the holies of holies. Wasn't afraid anymore.
Amen.
Just like Job, I wish people had confidence in the sacrifice like Job did. When Job watched his whole life fall apart, he knew, I gave the sacrifice. Amen. God does not see my sins. This is not happening because I'm a sinner.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what he held on to. And after dealing with his buddies for a while, he got frustrated. You would have too. Could you imagine losing all your children, losing all your stuff, and here are three guys that can't get off your back, can't even treat you like a friend.
Right.
Welcome to Christianity, get over it.
Amen.
You came to get a bunch of friends, you joined the wrong religion. Go be a lukewarm Baptist or Southern, whatever you want to be, and just be wishy-washy. Just put your arms, well, we just love one another. Well, yeah, you better really love one another, because if we're going to fall off this cliff into a sin, into a pit of hell, we better do something about it.
Amen.
If I really love you, I'm not just going to say, oh, it's fine, just keep on going. No, you need to turn around now. You need to find Calvary, because you're about to go into the presence of God without blood.
Amen.
And any person that does not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are going into that presence on your own merit.
Amen.
And you will not come out ahead. Remember when God will judge the earth, they all will see this, the white throne judgment, because they are all brought into that presence.
Amen.
And that's why every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's the life we should be living, church. It should not be us putting on a badge of Christianity, eagle belt buckles, and stacking up our message books and making sure our computer background's the prophet, so when people come over, they think we're spiritual. There should be such a presence around you,
amen,
that when they see you, they see the pillar of fire still walking.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Remember when we preached Jehovah Shammah? The Lord is there.
Amen.
That's something that you can't go around confessing. Somebody else needs to say it about you.
Amen.
That the Lord dwelleth in that person. If there's anybody that's a Christian, when people are asked that and they're around you, you better be the one they're thinking of.
Amen.
Or you might want to check your testimony a little bit.
That's right.
Now, we all have faults and failures, and any person in the world knows that. But when it comes down to it, it's the life behind the name. That there's no copying it. There's no counterfeiting it. They can tell.
Amen.
Every human can see that real life of Christ, because there's nothing like it. You'll never find a life that's packing so much power. You just speak things out of existence, speak things into existence. Yet with so much character, he would never do anything for himself.
Amen.
There's no one else like that. And why do you think I was so sold out when I heard this message? Because I had found one or the other. I found somebody that would talk a lot but didn't have no power. I found this person that had some power but would kill you for a dollar. When you go through all those, you know, all the evangelists that are out nowadays, and you find out that they're in sex scandals when they're 70 years old. You know why? Because if you fornicate on the word of God, it will manifest itself physically.
Amen.
And if you're seeing physical manifestations of something you're doing wrong, you better backtrack. You've had something up here for a while.
Right, yeah. Amen.
Yeah. And there's no reason for that to be in a Christian's life. We've been given power over sin.
Amen.
It's not time to let sin just have dominion.
Amen.
I know sin easily besets us. Paul said that himself, but he never gave excuse to it.
Amen.
Get in the presence of God and wash those desires fly
away.
Amen.
Amen.
How many's in the presence of God tonight?
Yes.
It's the only thing you're here for right now, is to bask in his presence and give him praise.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do for eternity. So if you don't like doing it now, you might not want to go to heaven. That's what we like to do as Christians.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
That's what we enjoy doing. You ain't got to twist my arm to read my Bible. I like it.
Amen.
You ain't got to twist my arm to sing praises. That's what I enjoy doing.
Amen.
All this other stuff I got to do, I hate doing it. I don't want to go to work. Why do you think I like when they call me and tell me I get to come in 2 hours late? Thought I'd just throw that in there real quick. Just remember, if you ever know it's 2 hours late, you just get up and say, bless God. Go bless Brother Andrew today. I'm just kidding. Thank you, brother. But you know what I like to do when that happens? Yeah, I get up. Hey, I got a little more time to read today than I did normally. Got a little more time to pray. Amen. So verse 6 and 7 again, what we just read there. Remember, he said that the priest could come in doing the service of God in the first, but only the high priest could walk into the holies of holies. He's the only one.
And remember, as the church is typed out in the priesthood, there's still only one high priest. We already went through that, didn't we, early in this chapter, early in the book. There's only one high priest allowed back there. That's Jesus Christ. But even Jesus Christ himself, think of that. The holy, virgin-born Son of God knew better than to walk in there without an atonement made. Why? Because he wasn't going alone. He was packing someone.
Amen.
Just as Adam had packed Eve. He was packing the bride. And he knew, she can't go in there like that.
Right. Amen.
Right. I must have an atonement. And remember the blood of... Oh, we need to read that, don't we? Where is that at? Verse 13. Let's read that. We'll come back here a minute. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling me unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh... What does that mean? It means in the Old Testament, if they could kill bulls and goats and heifers and things, and that would make people, according to their flesh, clean. If that kind of animal from that kind of blood from an animal would make a man clean, what about verse 14? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Amen.
And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament. Hallelujah. Yes, we were trapped under that law, but somebody came and fulfilled it all for us.
Amen.
So when he walked into the holies of holies, he was making an access back to the presence of God. I wish you could see that that's the Garden of Eden. That's what they had.
Amen.
They could walk in the presence of God free of conscience all the time. And as the garden was cut off when they had sinned, and God put an angel there to stand and say, stay out. Now he sent the angel, since the atonement's made, he sent the angel to push you. Get in, stay in, get in there. Amen. It's free access.
Amen.
The way's been paved.
Right. Yeah.
You don't have to walk the trail alone. He made the way in for us. Now remember, when he walked himself in there, where were you and I?
Come on.
We were in him.
Amen.
And he knew it.
Amen.
We did it. We were walking ignorant, weren't you? He knew it. Why did he accomplish the service of God? Was it for himself? Did he have something to prove? I think he knew good and well who he was.
Sure.
Jesus Christ didn't have to figure out who he was. He knew who he was because he was the Word.
Amen.
He was the Word made flesh. We're the flesh going back to being Word.
Amen.
That's great.
And when he walked in there, he brought us with him. To the point, remember when John saw the tabernacle, he said, it's one like the Son of Man. Remember what Brother Branham said? He said it was the bride standing there.
Amen.
Clothed in his righteousness, covered in his blood, standing in the presence. To where John said that bride's just like the
Amen.
Son of God. Just Amen. Like the Son of Man. Because God made flesh was what the Son of Man was. And the Son of Man has been revealed in the last days. Luke 17:30. But in the days of the revealing of the Son of Man.
Amen.
That's what the message came to do. Is unveil the bride because she was here. But she didn't know who she was.
Amen.
Then the veil came off. Now we can see. When were you saved? You always were saved.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. When were you in the holies of holies? When he was.
Amen.
Glory to God. And tonight, I'm standing in the blood of Jesus Christ, walking in the holies of holies, not afraid that I'm going to die. I've been redeemed.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh.
Praise you, Lord.
People that are religious, oh, they'll put their nose up and say, who do you think you are? You think you're so special? No, but I know one who is.
Amen.
And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior.
Amen.
My Lord, my Redeemer. Hallelujah. And I love it because by his own blood, it's verse 12 again. Actually, I'm going to read 11 and 12. Excuse me. Oh. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Do you see what I was trying to say? John saw the tabernacle, he saw Christ. Because a tabernacle, not a tabernacle building, not a temple made with hands, but a body hast thou prepared me.
Amen.
That was the temple of God, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Because the second that blood hit the altar, didn't dry up next year. It was there forever.
Amen.
Might be quoting this wrong. I hope you forgive me if it is, but I believe that Brother Branham said that Jesus' body be the only one that has any marks in it, because he'll still have the nail prints. So we remember what redemption was. For all eternity, we'll know. Because he lives, I could have faced tomorrow.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Yes, Lord Jesus.
And it won't be, oh my, why do you have to go through that? You go, oh my, how much you love me. Better than any wedding ring I could come up with. How about you? To see those nail prints in his hands. And to know that he didn't have to do it, but because he loved me, and he loved me all the way to the end, he decided to do that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me read what the prophet says in the true Easter seal. Now watch, at the Garden of Eden, to keep people from coming back to that tree, God sent an angel there as a seal with a sword, turning all ways to guard that tree. And when he made his worship and came down, now remember, who was that tree? Who was that tree? It was Jesus.
Amen.
And actually, I'll just share this today, that went to the little Bible study they have at school, and no doubt, no knocking on them at all. I thought it was very good. I enjoyed myself tremendously. They're going through Genesis chapter 3 and about the different ways you could interpret Genesis 3, which talks about the fall. He said one is an allegory, which means that all the people just stand for things, like man would, or Adam was just man's conscience, whether he chooses right and wrong. The woman is his desire to do something wrong, while the serpent is that temptation out there that makes him want to do things that are wrong. And it's all just a big allegory. There's no such thing as a real Adam and a real Eve and a real serpent. And obviously, and I'm glad they did too. Don't worry, they didn't believe that. We threw that out the window pretty quick. And the others, that it's just a myth. It's just like a parable that they just came up with because it's a nice story with a good moral behind it. The problem is, when you read the Bible, it ain't talking poetically at all there. It just says this is what happened. Pretty bad. And I began to think, well, I believe the tree of life is Jesus Christ. Am I saying it's an allegory then? That this stands for something else? Then I go, no, I just realized the tree of life just is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not trying to make it stand for anything. It's just what he was. Because if he's the bread that came from God out of heaven, and if we eat that, we live forever. And yet back here, there was a tree that if I ate, I lived forever. And there's two different ones. What's the point of redemption anyways? Let's just go find the tree of life, go pluck a fruit off and eat it, and we'll live forever.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense, does it? Because there's only one way of salvation, and that was through Jesus Christ. And if there was another way to get eternal life, God was wasting his time. But it was one and the same anyhow.
Amen.
So back there in that garden, when they were kicked out, and we know what it was an adultery. Why are we all born in sin, shaped in iniquity? Because we're all born the same way they sinned the first time.
Right.
We can't get away from it. We automatically take that nature upon ourselves because that's what we're born into. And if you can recognize when you're born again, it's not just born again like we think just a second time. It's born from above.
Amen.
That means you had to receive a life that became quickened.
Yes.
And then portrayed itself.
Sure, amen.
And when you're born again, it's not I that liveth. It is Christ that liveth in me.
Amen.
And I've had a blood transfusion.
Sure.
All my old corrupt blood that didn't do no good, that's covered in sin, it just washed right out of the way, and they put the blood of Christ in here. So when God looks at me, he sees himself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
But this way, remember when Adam sinned, this way to that tree, which was Jesus Christ, I believe standing back there, he had to put the angel in front of him. And what do you think that did to his heart? He created them. Why was Adam even there? Because God wanted fellowship. And now because of sin, he can't have it.
Right.
Everybody thinks that God preaches on sin or that ministers preach on sin just because they're mad at everybody. No, it's because that will separate you from his presence.
Amen.
And he didn't make us to destroy us. He made us to have fellowship. And when he washed that sin, and he knew I'm a holy God, I can't do that. It's against my character.
Amen.
He said, I must sin. And he said, I don't know who, but angel, come over here. Stand right there. Don't let anybody pass. And if that was the end of the quote, we'd be just like we are right now. Man,
sure.
Never going to get back, are we? Here was man on the other side of the chasm, looking back. What do you think Adam felt like that day? After a while, yeah, he might have got used to a little bit. What do you think he felt the first day?
Right.
When all of a sudden, oh man, I got to breathe a little hard. What is that? Ooh, ache. I never felt that before.
Right.
Imagine what that was like to come from way up there, now to live a mortal.
Sure.
Isn't that what we feel like day in, day out? We get up in those spheres and we go, my.
Amen.
Whew, this is wonderful.
Amen.
And you know what? Something bad happens, something in this life. We know we're living here in Satan's Eden, and it just come any which way, don't it? Something just come, and all of a sudden, we got to live immortal again. One of these days.
Amen.
One of these days, this corruption will put on incorruption.
That's right.
Well, I don't have to feel that no more. That's what I'm going to. But how can we get back? What? Remember, the angel was standing there, wasn't he? Saying, you can't come back. Let me finish the quote. Is that all right?
Amen.
And watch the tree, guarded. It could not get back because there was no offering appropriate to take sin away. So therefore, when they come to worship, the Shekinah glory was behind the veil, sealed off from them. It was sealed off from them, from the garden even. But when the day of Pentecost came, brother.
Amen.
Woo, glory. When the day of Pentecost came, brother. When Jesus died there at Calvary and finished the work, he didn't seal men out. He sealed man inside with himself.
Amen.
And now we're sealed up and shut up in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Not sealed out, sealed in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To where you can't get out even if you try. Every door's closed. Every part of your heart you try to love something else that don't last. You got to come back to Christ.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you grateful for that?
Amen.
Other people, my, they just cuss, steal, cheat, and lie. And they just whatever, we'll do it again tomorrow. But for some reason when you do something, even if it's just that little white thing.
Amen.
Just can't do it, can you? Because you know what it did to your husband.
Amen.
Hurting. You never want to do that. What's the first thing a Christian does? Gets it right. And he gets back in the presence of God.
Amen.
I was just reading in the book of Jeremiah, my daily reading. And I just those first, I think it's 5 or 6 chapters. And you just read about how terrible Jerusalem is, how bad it is. But every single time, God says, but if you'll just obey my word and come back, I will receive you.
Amen.
And under a bad covenant, is that all right? Under the blood of bulls and goats, he was able to have that kind of desire. What was it like when he looks through the blood of his son?
Amen.
And you're out there in sin, living in condemnation.
Sure.
Staying away from the presence of God because there is no condemnation in the presence of God.
Amen.
For the Christian.
Amen.
He's been washed. He's been purified. He's been cleaned. Mind, body, and soul.
Amen.
To where all God can see is his own life in you.
Amen.
And if we could see ourselves the way God sees us by just looking at the Word, you would ask for everything you have desires of.
Amen.
You wouldn't hold back. My, I don't know why I even thought about it. Actually, now I do, but when we used to first go to church over at the Church of God here, Brother Rufinock, Pastor Rufinock over there. I don't know, his assistant pastor was at my friend's wedding that I went to, and it just got me thinking. I'm like, hey, I'm going to check out that church. You know what he was preaching? Drive to Thrive. That was his series. And I don't remember what the title was, but he was saying how, you know, God came to him and rebuked him and said, you don't ask for enough. You'd ask for bigger things. And I thought, God have mercy on us. Why do we sit here getting little crumbs and think that's all we can have? There's a whole table spread of healing. There's a whole table spread of joy. There's a whole table of salvation and of baptisms of the Holy Ghost. When you get down, you can actually know, I'm filled up again. Let's go fight.
Amen.
I'm tired of people just thinking, well, I guess I'm filled tonight. I want to know that I'm in the presence of God.
Amen.
That I'm not afraid, come hell, devil, anything else. I am walking with the Savior.
Amen.
I am in the Shekinah glory, and I can't get out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
I think you might believe that tonight. And if you do, you'll have success. You will get healing. You will receive salvation. You will walk out of here joy with a smile on your face. But how could you not if you're in salvation?
Amen.
How could you not if you knew how sealed it really is? My, you think if we build 50-foot concrete walls in all directions, you think, man, I'm pretty secure in here. Nobody ain't getting in. And you think that the God that created everything says, I have sealed you.
Yes.
Amen.
What's the seal of God? He knows those that are his.
Amen.
And if you've heard the message of the hour, that is your theophany, the evidence, the proof that you are his. And he has come and said, thou art mine.
Yes. Amen.
And he didn't just stop for some little weekend vacation, as we know, as he walked through the candlesticks. No. You are one with him. To where when they see you, they see one like the Son of Man.
Amen.
They don't see two, they don't see three, they see the same God manifesting himself the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. On the day, let me finish that quote. But when the day of Pentecost came, brother, when Jesus died there at Calvary and finished the work, he didn't seal man out. He sealed man inside with himself. And now we're sealed up and shut up in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Not only are we sealed in, but we're sealed in eternally.
Amen.
How can a Holy Ghost-filled person miss it?
No way.
Wow. You've been changed from death unto life.
Amen.
And the power of God rests in your heart. There's no getting out.
Amen.
You can, if you try to live in sin, you won't rest day or night until it's right.
Amen.
Because that life can't accept anything but the life that it came from.
Amen.
That's why when you receive the Holy Ghost, if it's the real Holy Ghost, you have to have something in here to respond to it, or it won't match up right.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you might have a powerful service. You might be able to get all emotional. We've all seen that, haven't we? People get emotional just because they got in the presence of God. And yeah, that'll do that. Man, Balaam prophesied. Remember those 400 priests of Baal? They were having a good old Pentecostal time up there. Even David, a real man of God. When he came contrary to the word, remember that? They were having a good old Pentecostal time, but what did it all end up in? Death.
Amen.
Because there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And how do you know it's going to be death? Anytime it deviates from the word of God.
Right.
Paul said himself, he said, I'm convinced that there's nothing evil of itself, but what a man esteemeth evil, that is evil unto him. And if you act in something that you know is questionable, you already left faith.
Amen.
There's no way.
Right.
Because faith knows where it stands. It is 100% sure. It has the accuracy right on, going to hit the bullseye every time.
Right. Amen.
If there's any question in your heart about something, it's time to get rid of it.
Right. Amen.
Or just to not do it at all.
Right.
Amen.
Not only are we sealed in, but we're sealed in eternally. Oh, amen. Oh, I like that. Sealed inside now. That's your Easter seal. For by one Spirit we're sealed into one body. Ephesians 4:30, I'm sure you know it, but he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. That's the genuine, true Easter seal. Shows that sin has been paid for you.
Amen.
And God has accepted you, and you're sealed into Christ by the Holy Ghost. Sin is finished.
Amen.
I like that. I want to say that every day I wake up. Sin, you're finished.
Amen.
You don't got another page. It's already been burned up back there in the blood of Christ. God don't see none of that. When the Holy Ghost and fire came, it burned the old book. Now all you can see is my name in the Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
And it was never put on there. It was always there.
Amen.
God took that old book of my life down here on earth, and he tucked it over his shoulder. Remember? Amen. Wrote pardon down.
Amen.
So if you're still standing here, I guess he ain't thrown you out, has he? Remember how he changes the earth? He didn't throw the earth away and find a new one. He took it and renovated it.
Amen.
It had the potential in it for a new heavens and a new earth.
Right.
But because of sin, it lost its potentials. And even when the flood came, even when somebody got, you know, emotional, said, okay, I'll serve Christ, and that was all there was to it, just washed it off for a little while. What happened? Here comes sin again.
That's right.
Then when the blood came and they said, well, and I'm talking now, right here in the churches now, why people don't get the victory, why people don't have the life, it's because they always stop short of Pentecost.
Amen.
That was God's whole intention. God's whole intention that he would dwell in his people.
Right.
Amen.
Not the Gospels now, the book of Acts.
Right.
The Gospels were the framework to build up the book of Acts.
Right.
Amen.
Now I tell you what, that old religious spirit goes, you think you're greater than Jesus?
You heard that, didn't you? You heard that old demon come around and say that?
I know I did. You think you're better than Jesus? Not at all. But he made the way for me.
Amen.
I didn't create him for no purpose. He created me for a purpose.
Right.
I'm not bragging on myself. He made me so I could do this. Guess what? Yes, Lord, I'll be your servant. I'll be your lover. I'll spend every day with you. I'll go fishing with you. I'll go down the trail and walk with you, Lord. Remember what he said when the Lord came to Brother Branham and says, I'll walk with you. And he says, the greatest privilege I could have ever had.
Amen.
Can you say the same tonight?
Amen.
Oh, we could have $1 million. We could have this car and this house and all these things. But when it's all said and done, if the presence of God leaves, what's it worth?
Amen.
Might as well burn it.
Right. Right.
But if tenor God is, why should I care? Building a palace for me over there.
Amen.
Amen.
I wish I knew the rest of that. I got to memorize that sometime here. Probably wouldn't matter anyways. I get up here and preach and forget it again. So I'll put it in my notes. That's what I'll do. Amen.
Amen.
Sin is finished, church. We have been given free. Let me make sure I say that right. The price has been paid that we can have free access
Amen.
Into the holies of holies.
That's right.
Every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and guess what? Never's going to end either. Not going to run. There's no expiration date at the bottom. There's no fine print to read. These are pretty bold letters.
Amen.
It said it is finished. Amen. You are sealed.
Amen.
1 John chapter 3. I'll end on this. First John 3. Take a drink real quick. First John 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let's just believe that. Is that all right?
That's right.
Yeah, the devil had rule over all men. Since, remember it says, from Adam to Moses, death reigned.
Right.
But this is why the Son of God was manifested. Amen. That's why he didn't stay Melchizedek. That's why he didn't just stand up there and say, well, too bad, guys. The Son of God came.
Amen.
Melchizedek said, I will take on flesh. And I will come down there to destroy the works of the devil. Because
right.
he's got my kids captive.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
He's got my wife captive.
That's it.
You can find a man. Ooh, could you imagine that, brothers? Some guy put your wife in some cage. You can't find her and say, what is this? You going to let that go? I don't think so. We're going to find something to get her out of there.
Right.
How much more God himself? And this wasn't some overnight girl. This is someone he's been in love with always.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Amen.
For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
Amen.
Amen.
For his seed. Not talking about the person himself. For God's seed dwelleth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Amen.
Amen. See how that just seals the serpent seed for you right there? How in the world could Adam not be pure? He was born of God.
Amen.
How could he produce something like Cain?
Right.
It's impossible.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Glory to God. Look, he said he would destroy the works of the devil. We think all the devil out there, we're over here and he destroyed his works. No, he destroyed the works of the devil in me.
Amen.
That my seed that was held captive by the devil, that was in me, that was me.
Amen.
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 He came, died, paid redemption, so that way I could receive the power to destroy the works of the devil in my life.
Amen.
So where I didn't have to live some little mediocre life. I didn't have to live in the outer court. I didn't have to live even in the inner court. I could walk free of condemnation right into the holies of holies.
Amen.
Where it was just me and him. Remember, only the high priest went in. Only one person with God. And I can go right in there. How many wants to be in that presence?
Oh, yes, Lord.
How many believe? Let me just, let's go ahead and stand together. How many believes you're in the presence?
Amen.
The best sign as a preacher to know people in the presence of God is when you can tell they don't care about anything else right now. They're not looking left and right. They're not looking up and down. They see Jesus. They're not worried how brother so-and-so praises a little bit louder than I do. That doesn't mean anything. You are in a personal conference with the Shekinah glory. What will you do with it? I'll tell you what you should do is what he told us to do. Ask abundantly that your joys might be full. Come unto me, ye that are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Never has God shut the door on man. Man finds a way to shut God's door himself.
Amen.
Take himself out of the promise of God. That should be such a seal to us. How many has a desire to be in the presence of God?
Yes.
Then the door's open. Let's just take a nice hand of faith on the door of Jesus Christ and go ahead and walk in and just go ahead and throw away the key. How's that sound? Let's just stay in the presence of God.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together as we feel His presence come in here. As I said before, we must respect that presence. That's not respecting me or church. We're respecting the Almighty God. And if you want results tonight, respect Him. And then let that respect grow into where it's a love for Him.
Yes.
Do you have a need? Not even just for yourself, but do you have a need for others you can think of? And you go to bed and you think it's not May. I'm never going to see this happen. I'm never going to see my son saved. I'm never going to see this healing that I need. And don't live in that kind of a realm. Get into the Shekinah glory where all things are possible.
Yes.
Yeah. And all things are your inheritance. Not earning it, it's just because of who you are.
Yes, Lord.
Pray your own way. Confess His word. Look, I'm not here to pump you up. It's between you and Him. You are having a personal conference right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of His presence. Get in there and just have fellowship. Thank you, blessed God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Thank you for being so good. Lord, take away all my doubt, all my fear, all my confusion, Lord. Lord Jesus, just help me be a real Christian. I just want to give my heart to you, Lord. I just want to hold you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
And we say praise for you, Lord. We enter into the most holy one. Just you, Lord Jesus, every day. Every moment of the day, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you.
Blessed be thy name, Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord Jesus. How we love you, Lord Jesus. Glory to thy name, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How we praise you, Lord. We love you, Jesus, with all our hearts. We give you everything, Lord. We lay ourselves at the
Lord.
Lord Jesus, receive our sacrifice and praise, our worship to you, Lord Jesus, as our one and true Lord God. How we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are so mindful and helpful.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you tonight, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your love.
Be in the way of truth, Lord.
Thank you for your providing hand.
Your
salvation. Holy Spirit.
How we love you, Lord Jesus.
Your peace, your joy, your
holiness.
Oh,
Lord,
love Him. To Him with all your heart now. Just tell Him how much you love Him.
Oh, I love Him. Because He first
you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, to show us these great truths that you've been showing us, Father. That we don't have to walk around discouraged, Lord, walking around as if we're all alone. But Lord, no matter where we are, no matter where we be, Lord, you are there with us, for you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. But we thank you, Lord, that you paved the way for us, Lord God. We don't have to come trying to do this and not do this, but Lord, just asking you, and you fulfill your word every time. Thank you for healing us when we're sick, Lord. Thank you for saving us when we were lost. Thank you for providing when we didn't know what way we'd go, Lord. You're just there every time. Help us, Lord, as we've watched you never fail, to know that you'll never fail like, ever, Lord, but that you've conquered every enemy when you died at Calvary. And as the church walked blinded for thousands of years, Lord, but in the last days you said you would send Elijah so we wouldn't have to be blinded, but we would see the faith that they had when it was started, when the path to your kind of glory was opened up at Pentecost. Lord, I pray for each person here. Don't let them live below their privileges, Lord. May they stay right in that presence, Lord, in the presence that knows every answer, in the presence that has all joy and all peace, all healing and all love and all power and all joy. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for this. We thank you for the access you've given us to your presence. Lord, we pray for our loved ones. We just plead for them, Lord. We think of these people sick and wanting to commit suicide and things, Lord. It's just terrible. But Lord, you've given us the token. Lord, and we're not a group of people afraid to use it. In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, you are defeated. Take your hands off them. Take your hands off this audience. That they may act as they ought to in the presence of God. That we would never be afraid of your presence, Lord. But we would know that you have arms wide open just wanting to take us back in every day. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for cleaning our hearts up, Lord, and filling us with a heart full of joy, a heart full of the Word of God that our only desire is to serve you. Thank you for it, Lord, for we know we couldn't have done it in ourselves. But you changed us. Credit, Lord God. Give each one perfect peace, each one perfect joy. May they just be leave here full of the Holy Ghost. Fuller than they have all ever been before, Lord. Just so close that they know they can't get out of your presence. We would always be conscious of you, Lord, that when we walk in our daily lives, it's not just a normal day. You're with us, and there's something you want us to do. We dedicate our hearts to you again, Lord. Make us real servants. Make us really like you, where we live for others every moment of our lives. Thank you for the life you've given to us. Thank you for providing for all of our needs. Lord, we don't have enough voice to thank you for all the wonderful things you've really done. We just praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you for coming by tonight. Thank you for your presence being here, Lord. I just want to say thank you to you, Lord, for helping me. Every time I step behind here, Lord, I don't know what to say or do. But Lord, when you just show up, it's just so much better. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for feeding us the word of life tonight. Let it live in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask it and believe and receive it. Let's sing it. That presence now.
As
it's just you and him, it's no one else. Give him worship and praise.
Worship and to magnify thy name.
Yourself to him. Now let him use you for his glory. Hallelujah, Lord.
And flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Clap of praise, give him honor and glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you for the order. Thank you for being the sinner. Praise you for loving you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, I love that presence. Makes it really hard to go home, don't it? You just want to stay and just bask in it all night. I'm glad it came back to my memory there, but I believe Brother Ron's preaching Friday and Saturday, Sunday. Anybody here is able to go? I'm planning on going probably Friday, but I think that'd be really good. Go out there and support the work over there in Bluffton as well. You all support here pretty well, so I think once in a while we go support over there. But keep that in prayer. I believe you. This might even just been a good foundation for that to just build upon. Look, when you go, like I said, when you pray, it's your kind of glory. Amen. Not just emotion. You are in His presence when you go to church. Expect great things.
Yes.
Don't worry about who's preaching. Don't worry about who's not preaching. Get in the Shekinah glory.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're able to do that tonight?
Yes.
I just love His presence. I don't even want to go. I don't even know what to do when it's like this sometimes, because I just want to be here. That's all I want to do. When I get to heaven, I don't need to skip and jump and do that. I just want to be there.
Amen.
I just want to be with Him. That's all I need, and I'll be just fine. Ed, you got something?
What will it be when we get older, God? I'll join my loved ones and What will it be when we get over yonder and join the song upon the glassy sea? We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever.
God bless you.
What will it